No sound, no sound.
No sound, no sound.
Around, around.
Around, around.
But they say life is what you make it. So I'll try not to drown.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Checkout. It's a podcast, you know that already. Get it on your podcast platforms. Also, all of our shows archived on our homepage, checkoutjazz.org, produced at the world premier jazz station, Public Radio, WBGO 88.3 FM in Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Samora Pinderhughes lives in a constant state of metamorphosis. 5 years after he released his auspicious debut, The Transformation Suite, this brilliant pianist and singer-songwriter is ready to burst out of his latest cocoon with his new project entitled Venus. In March of 2018, The Checkout caught an early taste of Venus in our performance studio. And then that following summer, we proudly presented the world premiere in a concert at Le Poisson Rouge. The name Venus actually offers a message of love. Taken from a Shakespeare line, Venus smiles not in the house of tears. But it's really a suite of protest. Poignant, cutting songs that takes on issues such as police brutality, mass incarceration, and more. Well, we're going to take you to that very special performance at Le Poisson Rouge in New York City. And just remember, while you're listening to this show, you can actually watch our videos of this performance by going to our website, checkoutjazz.org. Thanks for checking in.
Never compromise what you need. I feel like a mystery to myself. No sound, no sound.
No sound, no sound.
Around, around.
Around, around.
But they say life is what you make it. Take a deep breath and drown, drown.
All right, Samora, so just briefly, where have you been since I've seen you?
Very well. Where have I been? I was in Europe. I was on tour.
On tour with Common specifically?
Common, yeah.
Okay.
We did a U.S. tour for the new album.
Mm-hmm.
Right before it came out.
Let Love.
Yes, Let Love.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The first thing you hear on the album is you. That must be weird. Sorry, I shouldn't be swearing. I should know better.
No, it's great. It's well, not only is it me, it's me messing up. He's like, keep that. I'm like, fine, okay.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
It was me trying to figure out the chords, but I like it. I understand because it's like process, you know, and that's like beginning the album that way.
Well, I feel like he had the same direction with the beat that comes in, too. He's like, let's dirty that beat a little bit. It's too clean. Was that maybe the same process, you know?
The drums are all just Kareem being a genius. Like, Kareem just kind of goes and does what he does, and then he gives us his drums.
Kareem Riggins,
yeah,
the jazz drummer that serves as a producer.
When we can't make it through the day, we pray. Is a test coming to my faith? We pray, oh my Lord. Will my people ever be safe in the land that takes us and breaks us? I can't be sure.
Walking with the Lord, I see footprints. My mama always told me use my good sense. Common, always looking for the good sense. Since we all got good in our essence.
So here we are, a year later, since Samora Pinderhughes debuted his new suite of music, we could call it, a Venus. He just dropped a single entitled Inertia that you can listen to on all streaming platforms. But we actually had you doing it in our studio, live, in a solo piano setting. And I have to say,
that was the first time, actually, that I played it solo, like, on record. Yeah. So special.
I don't know if you know this, but I have multiple friends or people in my circles that say they have listened to that, like, on repeat. Like, just repeat, repeat, repeat.
That's what's up. I'm honored. I'm glad.
And that's so cool, right?
It's like, so cool. Yeah.
We're going to hear the evolution of a song. Why don't we
really?
Why don't we begin with Inertia? It is your lead single that you just dropped. But first, let's hear a little bit of the solo piano performance, and then we'll see what it has morphed into. Samora Pinderhughes joins us on the checkout. So here we are, you performing this song, Inertia, in first the stripped down solo piano naked version, and then the fully ornamented, arranged version. And the two really don't sound like anything alike.
At all. Yeah, no, it's actually, it's a really, I think as an artist, and somebody who tries to learn about process from other artists, I think it's an interesting kind of case study, definitely, because the solo version is how I wrote it. You know, I'm a pianist, so like that's really if you listen to that version that I played in studio, you know, that's the version that is actually how I was conceiving of the song, writing the song. Then when I took it to my amazing collaborators, you know, first and foremost, obviously my primary collaborator on this project, Jack DeBow, who's the producer of the track. But then also the guitarists were really a big deal. Gabe Schneider and also Brad Allen Williams. They're two guitarists on the track. And they're playing like, I almost feel like it's like a patchwork pattern where they're kind of like weaving in and out from each other. And that was something I like always heard in my head, but you know, couldn't conceive of as a just playing on the piano. So to
but
me,
there
that's
is a
kinda,
lot of like yeah. insinuated polyrhythm in the
there
track
is.
Already
yeah.
because you're
yeah.
going over the bar line. And
yeah.
that's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, and it's like nothing is really on the one. Yeah, so it's like not even the drum part really. So yeah, everything is kind of implied. It's not intentional, but it definitely, if I think about it, comes out, you know, a lot of just, you know, where I come from musically as far as like Afro-Cuban music and like, you know, I played all that stuff before I played jazz or anything like that, you know, Venezuelan music, and I was a percussionist, so.
We'll see, I learned something new every day. I had no idea you played percussion and studied yeah. Afro-Cuban rhythm.
Yeah, my first introduction to music when I was 2 years old, I started playing. Actually, my godmother, she became my godmother. She wasn't at the time, but she came to my preschool. Her name's Jacqueline Rago. She's like a very well-known Venezuelan percussionist and cuatro player. She's like a master musician. And she came to my preschool and saw that I was very interested in music, and she was my first teacher. So I played Venezuelan percussion for like 3-4 years. Then I met a lot of amazing, you know, also, you know, the Bay Area is just like a hive of incredible percussion and incredible Latin music, like music from all over South America, Central America, the Caribbean. Then I got into Cuban percussion, and that's how I actually got into piano, was being in a Cuban band at this place called La Peña in Berkeley, and somebody was playing piano, and I was like, forget the congas, like you forget all that, and I just got into the piano.
I think it's kind of cool that the, you know, the name of the song is Inertia. I think we all know what that word means, but the polyrhythmic frenetic beats underneath the latest release, the commercial release, you know, kind of metaphorically, at least to me, kind of represent this kind of burning desire to do something, but being paralyzed at the same time. And that state of paralysis is actually making the burning hotter. Was that all intentional, or that just worked out that way?
No, I mean, you hit it on the head. That's totally the point. That's definitely it. So I'm really glad that you, I mean, you're very perceptive, but I'm really glad that you heard that from it, because it was very intentional. I like to think of, especially with this project, but in general, I like to think of my music as like film. I'm really into film, and I think of scenes, and I try to like bring things to life like it's a scene in a film or something like that.
It's sort of like, you know, a brilliant Sean Penn internal kind of acting performance. You see the fire in his eyes. You see the very subtle ways in which he reacts, but you feel the pain. Like,
right. Yeah. And there's the tension, you know, there's a tension there, especially also for me. I'm very fascinated with the tension between beauty and struggle, you know, so it's like something that's very delicate. I think like the guitar pattern is very, to me, very beautiful and very delicate, but kind of like hitting up against the more harsher drums and against the subject matter, you know.
How much of these parts have you already figured out when you recorded the piano version?
When I recorded the piano version, I hadn't really figured out a lot of it, actually. I definitely heard guitar. I just knew I wanted guitar and obviously drums, you know, because I was working on with Jack. I was very inspired.
Jack DeBow is a drummer.
Yeah,
in your
amazing
band.
Drummer. Yeah. And we actually first met when he was playing drums in Emily King's band. So, you know, I already knew he was an amazing drummer. I'm sure anybody who, like, knows, after I say this, everybody's gonna be like, yeah, I definitely heard that already. It's pretty obvious. But I was very during, while I was writing this project, very inspired by Radiohead and by this album particularly called In Rainbows. And there's some amazing...
Is there a track on there that...
Just the whole record, like the whole record. It's one of my like desert island records. Like I just listen to that record anytime I need any type of like stirring emotionally. I just think that record is amazing. I would say my favorite track on the album is All I Need. Just the way that it builds to the end. But literally every song on that track, on that album, is a classic. So, but anyways, I was listening to a lot of that album, and there's obviously amazing piano on the album, but there's so much great guitar, and there's so much amazing ways that they kind of layer, just the way they layer instruments to me is just so incredible. So that was really inspiring me to why I wanted to try to bring these two guitar parts and kind of put them together.
Samar Pinderhughes joins us here on The Checkout in his Harlem home in New York City. I'm so happy to finally catch up with him a year later after a concert at Le Poisson Rouge debuting Venus. And singles are going to be dropping. The first one you can hear right now called Inertia, what we just heard. Let's go back to just the beginning days, too, of your work with Jack DeBow. At the concert, you cited specifically... something that you said you put on repeat that inspired you, that you wanted to work with him, Solo Woods and the song Powers.
It's interesting, I think, from a number of levels, because number one, like I said, I met Jack as a drummer, and that recording Powers, it has almost no drums. It's like basically like mostly a guitar and voice track. Like it's very spare. So I think for a lot of, but that's part of why I was so drawn to his production on it, because I think a lot of people, when they think of producers, they think of drums, they think of like, and they think of like heavy production, you know, or like orchestration, or like a lot of things going on. But for me, like the most amazing producers are just people that can make something very simple sound and feel like it's taking up your whole body, you know, and taking up your whole space. And for me, like when I listen to that song, the sound of everything. I mean, the song itself is incredible. This artist, Solo Woods, the sound of this guitar, the sound of the drums when they come in the bridge, like just the way the whole song moves is so subtle and perfect. And I just like, I was listening to it every day for like a whole summer.
Higher than the powers of the moon. Deep inside her aura lies the makings of the sun.
I was like, I gotta know who produced this. And I saw Jack's name and I was like, oh, I know him. He's amazing. He's an amazing drummer. So we knew each other a little bit, but we weren't like friends or anything. And I just reached out to him about the new stuff I was writing. This was, you know, 3 years ago now. We've been working on this for a long time.
Well, let's move on to this show. And the music from Venus. And so what's the rollout of this music? What are you thinking? What can people look out for?
I like to be very mysterious. I find it very fun. and I kind of like the, I don't know, it's very much in contrast to today's, like, you know, social media world, which I do find a lot of appreciation for in certain ways. I'm very much from the James Baldwin school of like the private life, and what happens in the private life is the world of the artist, exposing that through the art. I'm not going to reveal too much of the overall plan. As you also know, this is only one of multiple projects that have been kind of in incubation for me for a long time. And, you know, I haven't really actually put anything out under my own name until, you know, since the Transformation Suite, which was what, 4 or 5 years ago now. So now is the time where things are going to be start to come out, so I'm very excited about that.
The weight is starting to be lifted off your shoulders. Let's listen to Hold That Weight from Le Poisson Rouge, some more Pender Hughes in Venus.
I came upon a man who carried in his hands all of his years at the factory plant, through minimum wage and many a stage of dreams and love and sorrow. He asked if I could spare a pair of my walking shoes to help him climb the years that still lay in his life. Something he could wear to carry his cares, hold up his iron will, a day maybe tomorrow. He wanted to lay down, he wanted to test the ground. I said, how do we defeat a state that do evil deeds? He said, practice what you preach. Yes, I will hold that weight, I'll hold that weight for you. Yes, I will hold that weight, I'll hold that weight for you.
Andrew Renfro, Maya Kronfeld, Josh Hari, and Jack DeBow on Hold That Weight. There's some room for interpretation for your lyrics, but I feel like this track in particular is very literal.
This song in particular, I was very interested in the tradition of, I don't really know what you would call it in today's age. I don't know if you would call it the work song or the folk song or anything like that, but the tradition, you know, whether it's Woody Guthrie or Bob Dylan or Johnny Cash, even these songs.
Bruce Springsteen.
Springsteen. These songs that are about working people, everyday life. And there's a lot of glorifying the celebrity, glorifying the artist who is like, you know, or glorifying riches, of course, and wealth. And I really like the idea of elevating the stories of working people, elevating the stories of people who aren't like having this kind of glitzy, you know, whatever, but they're just going about their things and are having kind of a time of it, you know. That was the first inspiration for the song. And the second one was, I'm very fascinated by this idea of what it means to be an ally, quote unquote, because people say that a lot. Like, I'm an ally, whether it's to LGBTQ issues or Black Lives Matter or immigrant rights right now. And so people say, I'm an ally. And I'm like, what does that actually mean? Like, what does it look like to be more than that? Because to me, what I associate with being an ally is a very passive form of help. I'll give money to this cause, or I'll put it on social media or whatever. But it doesn't often really, number one, like, really go as far as you need it to go to actually change things. And also, it doesn't really actually materially, like, risk anything of the person who is being the ally. And so for me, I was interested in this idea of what does it look like to say to a person, I want to try to hold some of the weight that you're carrying. Because to me, that's like a more of an active thing where it's like, I know you're dealing with this thing. Let me try to help you with that. And that means that in order to do that, I have to hold the weight, some of the weight now. You know, I have to, like, deal with the burden.
As we segue to the next song, Gatsby.
This is a song called Gatsby, and it's about how fake everybody is.
I think that it's very important for us to all acknowledge the ways in which we are intentionally or unintentionally putting on a mask or putting on some artifice, or, you know, and a lot of that to me is not necessarily on purpose. You know, a lot of it is just literally sociality. I'm a person that gets very uncomfortable in situations with, like, people that I don't know, and as a result, agree with things that I don't agree with. You know, like, we all do that. You're just like, somebody says something and you're like, you know, in the moment, you're like, oh, okay, I should have said this. But then you're like, you don't say that, you know. The Gatsby thing is, to me, a whole nother level. You can create a whole persona around yourself that is completely different from your actual real life. F. Scott Fitzgerald was talking about that in 19-whatever. But now with social media, it's everywhere.
It's on steroids.
It's everywhere, and it's connected. What I think is so interesting about it is, in the same way that Fitzgerald was talking about it, it's so connected with capital. There's the social capital of it. There's the standing. As Gatsby, the character, creates this cult of personality around himself, he's growing in terms of his social capital and, you know, who he has access to. But he also literally is making money off of that. And he's able to be a rich person, which then, of course, all the artifice comes crashing down. But, you know, in the age of social media, people can literally build these cults of personality around themselves in these ways that are completely not true. And then they can literally make money off advertising from that. So it's just a very crazy, crazy world we live in.
A version of self that erases the mirror. I change my appearance and go out for dinner with people that hurt to be noticed, and they talk just alike, and they argue for thrills. Yeah, it's never too real. I've been saying things I don't believe. I've been doing things that just ain't me. Or is it me? I've been knowing that this can't continue, but I keep on living the same way. But you didn't know me then. I wasn't nobody's friend. I wanted what all men want, to be in good company, to run around breaking things and never think about fixing. Can't let it go now. Won't let it go. I've been living the type of life I see in movies. It's not sustainable. I've been practicing on a new accent. New stories might be more relatable. How did I end up with the same damn clothes on? Thought I was so individual. Went to the East. Make sure to take some pictures. You know it's all about the visuals. pretty, pretty thing. I've been doing things that just ain't me, or is it me? I've been knowing that this can't continue, but I keep on doing the same thing.
Some more of Pinder Hughes from his new body of work called Venus, and watch out for it coming your way. I'm just super fascinated with, you know, what we're talking about right here, because it's something that obviously I think about and sometimes struggle with. Do you have to check yourself when you're on the road with somebody like a movie star and rapper of the star caliber of Common, of like, ooh, I can't take that many selfies with him because that's just lame?
You know, yeah, I mean, the nice thing is I don't really think about it because we're genuinely friends. So, and he's genuinely a good person. So I don't even, and maybe it's part of who I am too. I just don't think like that in terms of like, I mean, I, you know, do things with him and he appreciates my music. So he, you know, big upset, and I really appreciate that.
He was at the show.
Yeah.
At Le Poisson Rouge.
Yeah.
He showed up for a moment.
He supports, and I'm very appreciative of that. But it's very much of a genuine thing, you know. And the creative partnership that I have with him and Kareem and Bernice Travis, who played bass on the record.
Amazing singer,
yeah,
too.
Amazing. Yeah, and the cats don't know that, but they will soon. But shout out, Boom. But yeah, they're just like, they're brothers. And, you know, between August Green and this project, obviously with Rob and August Green.
Robert Glasper.
Yeah, and this project, James Poyser did a lot of work on it too. So, but yeah, I mean, between that time frame of working with those guys, like, the connection is genuine. And
talk about who's amazing at being honest and authentic on social media is Robert Glasper. I mean, what the hell? The dude's like a genius.
Yeah, I love it. He's a multi-talented cat because he's like one of, you know, the great pianists, but he's also a born comedian. he's like Kevin Hart level comedy out here. I was just like, wow.
Spoke up with something on my mind. To all the black American singers out there singing black American music, it's okay to sound like you're black and American. Just in case you didn't know, because so many of y'all are trying to sound like somebody that's not from here singing black American music. Some of y'all trying to have some kind of European accent, and y'all ain't even been to Europe. It's okay to sing our music and sound like us. You don't have to sound like somebody else that's not from here trying to sound like us. They're trying to sound like us. And by default of not sounding like us, they have a sound. But you are black and American, so you can sound black and American. Just throwing it out there to you.
One thing I'll say about Rob, an experience I've actually never really like talked about. I actually haven't even talked to him about this, but I really appreciate it. Was before we really knew each other, but it was a while ago, and I was putting together a show I was music directing. It was actually called Justice for Flint. I did it. It was a long time ago when the Flint stuff was first going on, and we did a big show in Flint. And there was a lot of big artists on the bill. And I music directed it. Because I was part of the collective that put it together, I was also helping to backline it with Live Nation. It was like a lot of work that I had never done before. And so we got to sound check, and it was like,
who was on this bill? Just so
Robert,
we know.
Well, Rob was on it, but it was also Vic Mensa, Janelle Monae, Lettucey, Jasmine Sullivan. It was like, wow, a stack bill. Estelle. It was a stack bill. Anyways, folks were showing up for sound check, and we only ended up having, because of the production level and everything, we had like an hour and a half to sound check like 10 to 12 artists. It was crazy. And of course, everybody, you know, I'm an artist, so I know everybody, that's going to really crunch everybody. And I was stressed out, you know, because I was like, I don't want to offend anybody, you know, not give people their time to work.
And yet you're putting yourself on the line in a working environment.
Most of these people had never met me, you know, so, but Rob was one of the few people I knew. And Rob was there, you know, seeing kind of me get stressed out. And he started, you know, doing his comedy thing, joking with people and stuff. But to me, it felt very intentional, because in the moment it like lightened the mood for everybody and it made everybody at ease. And I just appreciated him for that, because I felt like he made my job so much easier in that moment. I really think that that's like actually a gift that he gives.
Take us to a, you know, high point on August Green with Robert that you really enjoy.
I really like this song called Practice, which I obviously wrote the chorus for and I sing on, but Rob came with those chords, which to me, I really gravitated to those chords. They're very almost classical in a way, like they're kind of like Bach, the way they move in the progression, but then a couple of the voicings are like Rob voicings, you know. And it was a cool thing to do, because he you know, as he was writing that piano part, I was working with him, and he would be like okay, check this. So, you know, I helped out with some of the changes, but it was a very interesting exchange, because I was, you know, being like, okay, let's use this voicing instead of this voicing, but then some of those voices were coming out of me listening to him in high school, you know? So it was a very interesting, like, circle moment. Because, you know, some of the harmony that I, like, you know, was really into in high school was when he was first coming with his trio and things like that. So
that's right. That's, like, in the early 2000s, right?
Yeah. So it was, like...
How early were you on point with Robert Glasper?
I mean, I was pretty early when I was first considering whether to go to music school and, like, you know, applying to Juilliard. I came out here with my mom to, like, visit the school, and I went to 55 Bar, and we went to one of the first ever experiment shows before anybody knew there was an experiment. This was way before the records.
Is this 2005, 2004? Do you remember?
I think it was like, yeah, like probably 2000. It was probably more like 2007 or something like
that. Okay, 2007.
So they were definitely playing in the city. I wasn't the first person to like hear them, but it was definitely before the records and black radio and everything. And it was the original group, which was him, Chris Dave, Hodge, Casey Benjamin, and Lionel.
Lionel?
Yeah,
Lionel used
to play with them. Yeah, in the beginning, Lionel used to, it was...
What?
Bananas.
Like, I can't even...
Incredible.
Wow.
Incredible. Yeah,
I had
Lionel
no idea.
Amazing.
We have to bring back that reunion band. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, low-key, it was amazing. Yeah. Wow. So, and you know, I mean, because, you know, Rob produced one of Lionel's first records, Blue Note, so that connection is established. But yeah, I don't know how many people know that he did a lot of, like, early, at least the ones I saw, the early experiment gigs he was on.
Looking out on my life, my sights, in the fast lane, it's a rat race. Give me time, changing pathways, might take some practice, take some practice, take some practice.
This show's about Samora Pender Hughes with Robert Glasper, so don't worry. We're going to change subjects, but just to stay on Glasper real quick, I was put through the exercise of trying to think about what classic jazz means now in a talk in Belgium, going up every decade of trying to identify, you know, what would be considered classic jazz recordings of that era. And I have to say, like, in the 2000s, there was really only two bands to me that shaped the sound of that era. And Robert Glasper is absolutely one of them. The other band that I thought of was The Bad Plus, but I feel like both of those bands made their stamp in creating a sound that represents the era. Would you consider Robert Glasper like a he probably hates this. But Robert Glasper, I'm calling you a classic jazz artist.
He probably does hate that. But I mean, all I can speak about is seminal recordings for me. You know, I like, it's also funny to be talking, you know, about this in the context of the Venus Project, which is cool that you, like, this is why I appreciate you, is that you see, I guess, that lineage in it, but I would never call it a jazz project, you know? So it's very interesting, like, if, you know, we had to put the genres and things, like, for the algorithms, and I put indie, like, you know, indie and soul. I don't even, it's in between a lot of stuff. I hate genres anyways. But as far as, like, the lineage of that music, I would definitely say, like I said, I mean, for me, and also he probably hates this because it's dating people, but in high school, you know, he was very important for me as an influence. Josh Redman's music was very important for me as an influence. He also happened to live next near me at the time, so that was great.
In Berkeley.
I talked to him about the music. He's an awesome dude. I'm, you know, very influenced by Ambrose's music, so that's another important, but that might have been right at a little bit later, but
all right.
I don't know when, like, when The Heart came out, but Ambrose is the truth. So, and Christian, you know, luckily a lot of these people I know, I'm grateful to know now, but
yeah,
like they were very important musicians for me.
All right. Some more Pinder Hughes. We're talking about Venus and some other subjects. Venus, he's dropping subsequently in the coming months, and we're very excited about it. And I'm just freaking thrilled we're finally releasing this amazing concert to the public.
Desires, I can't deny it when I wake up early in the morning. I wake up tired, I can't remember how I ended up in rooms so foreign. Thought it would feel so good when you came over. Thought I could steal some great moments or lose it in ocean, it's all too sweet skin. Take your eyes off the sea, it's land of victory. Never compromise what you need. I feel like a mystery to myself. No sound, no sound around, around. But they say life is what you make it, so I'll try not to drown. Crashing down on me, I got desires, it's been a problem since I made the trip to Miami. I got a liar making up stories, saying promises to your family. Thought it would feel so good when she came over. Thought I could steal some great moments or lose an ocean of salt and sweet skin. Is what you make it, so I'll try not to drown. No sound, no sound,
no sound.
sound, no sound around, around, except your breathing. Look at the ceiling. I've got the feeling I might regret this. Half of me faking Picasso painting. Too many faces to be this careless. No sound, no sound, no sound. No sound, no sound around, around. I'm not too proud of what I found, but it won't change until I face it. Take a deep breath and drown, drown. Don't take your eyes off the sea. It's laying in victory. Never compromise what you need. I feel like a mystery to myself. No sound, no sound,
no sound, no sound.
Around, around,
around, around.
But they say life is what you make it. Take a deep breath and drown, drown. Don't take your eyes off the sea. It's laying in victory. Never compromise what you need. I feel like a mystery to myself. No sound, no sound around, around. But they say life is what you make it. So I'll try not to drown.
Some more of Pinder Hughes from his new body of work called Venus in his Harlem home. Thankfully, we were able to get him off tour. I'm sure you have an insane schedule coming up with just the release of the Common record. And since you're all over it, let's actually listen to a little bit of that. Here we go with Memories of Home.
My first memory, my birthday on a party bus. Pops wasn't there, but that would not be us. In mom's arms, in God we trust. Black mama love, everything marvelous. I didn't know what I was.
Are you the Common tenderizer? Because, I mean, this is like a whole nother vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of timing and people. Because, you know, he came out with this book right before this called Let Love Have the Last Word, which he talks about a lot of the same vulnerabilities around, like, he deals with a lot of the same subjects. So I think for him, it's an important time in his life to, like, deal with those things. But I will say that the combination of, myself, Burnus, and Kareem, like, it's a very special combination of how we worked on this record together.
It's extremely, like, yeah, tender, though, yeah, and gentle.
Yeah. In general, you know, I think one thing that he definitely values from me is vulnerability. Like, I'm willing to go there. I'm not going to not kind of go there with things. There was different things that I would sing and come up with, and then it would spark him being like, okay, we can talk about this on this record. It's with Memories of Home. I sang that the memories of home, like, that part is a very simple thing. I didn't even think it was anything at the time. You know, and I didn't even know where it was coming from in my mind. It was just the instrumental sounded like that. And then he came back being like, oh, okay, I can talk about this, these memories on this track. And, it, you know, when I first heard what he's talking about on that song, of course, I was just like, wow, that's took it to another level, you know.
And what song is he talking about, just so?
I mean, he's being honest about the fact that he was molested as a kid. And, you know, he's talking about sexual assault.
Certain memories my brain would deny. A tear laid in my eye. I was afraid to reply to the hurt that was calling. It came from the sky, an older play cousin. Of course I trust him, but he was touching where he wasn't supposed to be touching. What's a kid supposed to do when they going through what I was going through? Don't know who to go to. You want to tell somebody. In many ways, I felt somebody. That somebody was me.
Now I'm talking to little Rashid. Incarcerated heart, man, you gotta be free. I felt it when I told my man I would help with things he was dealing with I really hadn't dealt with. Emotions melted, I began to release it. Things you can't change, you can come to peace with. At least get it better for the children of forever. I read the Lord's letter, I forgive our debtors. They don't talk about it, many sharing this story. Memories of home, shared pain and glory.
Not only a brave and courageous thing to do, but it's also very important for men to talk about. You know, that's something that men are extremely ashamed of, which is, you know, it's just a real thing. And there has to be that space opened up for, you know, men to speak about how they have also been assaulted, especially because a lot of times, you know, hurt people hurt people. So a lot of times people who I'm not saying this happens all the time, you know, I'm not excusing anything, but I am saying that a lot of times those things run in cycles, you know, and so if we're going to break those cycles, honesty is a very important part to say, you know, this is something that's happened to me. That's the only way you can receive support. You know, a lot of people find themselves in the island with those kind of things because they can't even talk about it to even people they're close to. So I respect him for a lot for being honest about that.
Talk about being vulnerable. I mean, that's a huge statement.
It's
massive.
Courageous.
I mean, also if you contextualize it in the sort of a larger hetero hip hop culture.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk about that on a record. So
activism plays a large part in your daily operation. Mm-hmm. But you proudly like to identify yourself as an activist, because I feel like a lot of artists that I come in communication with that are, you know, making a leap into that realm and trying to have a message, don't like to be defined as an activist. They, in fact, they sometimes even get insulted by it. Most recently, when a conversation with the great Saul Williams, the hip hop artist, he would prefer not to be known as an activist, despite, you know, a lot of the amazingly poignant things he has to say on his records all the time. So I'm curious for you, Samora, is that something that you carry as a badge of honor?
I can understand how it's complicated for a number of reasons. And I mean, obviously, I think I would love to have a conversation with Saul I love to have conversations with Saul about anything, because he's one of my greatest inspirations in life. I've told that
right?
to him. Yeah, he's like,
just like, he like comes in a room
one of
and
the
it's
greatest
like
living
over.
Artists. Yeah, he's one of the greatest living artists, and he was one of the primary inspirations behind Transformation Suite. I was very obsessed with his work at the time.
I didn't know that. That's so crazy.
Some of his words are on the project.
Oh wow!
Yeah, in the song Cycles, the words that are sung on the track Cycles by my sister, those are Saul's words.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So obviously lovingly and luckily with his blessing.
Life, injecting my stories into the veins of Lee.
I think one distinction I would make is the distinction between activist and organizer. So being an organizer is something very specific, which to me means even more, and means like are the people that I respect the most, because those are the people that are like in the trenches every day. They're working on practical matters every day, and they're actually like involved every day in how do we actually, whether it's get a legislation passed or materially change this person's life in this way, or, you know, be in the prisons and do this program or whatever, you know. So I want to uplift and help those people do their work. But as an artist, I'm also try to be very clear with people that what we are doing is not the same as that. I would just say that I'm trying to be a reflection of the ideas that I believe in and the work that I see is being done. And also that I, in turn, would like to provide inspiration and support and imagination to fortify those fights, you know. And I'm also trying to, in my studies right now, like do a much greater examination of the role that artists can play in materially changing conditions.
And sometimes that can be with the music. I'm trying to figure out how to do that with the music, but I also think it's in partnerships and community building. As an artist, I don't think it is enough to just put out a song. You know, you have to also think about how that song lives in the world, who the audience is that's coming to your show, and what how that affects how it's living in the world. Like, what the space is that you're doing it in. For an artist to say, oh, I just do what I do and it reverberates, like, I just think that that's a little bit
short-sighted.
Naive. You know, yeah.
Here with some more of Pinder Hughes, wrapping up with your own protest song to Sandra Bland. For those lost, thank you some more, Pinder Hughes, for spending some time with us. This was fun.
Yes, thank you for having me. Thanks for always supporting. And, you know how much I love everything you do.
There's some things that I don't want. So I try not to think about it. There's a lot of ugly things in my heart. I just hope to the Lord I don't slip. You feel me? So there's some things that I don't want in me. So I try not to think about it. There's a lot of ugly things in my heart. I just hope to the Lord I don't slip. I wonder what it's like to let it out. That part of me that I'm so afraid of. It holds on me and tosses me about. Doesn't seem to be something I get away. Tell me how do you name those well-kept secrets that you never say out loud? And why does the body see these demons but keep me from calling out? I guess I'll just say it's a process, one day at a time. There have been weeks when I already lost it, but I came back every time. Said there's a whole entire world that I've created in my mind, and it's so much more real than the one I see outside. I've populated it with people who can see that I'm no good, and who know all the best places where I can go to hide. And I'm haunted by the ghost of my best friend who just left me to head to the next world. But I'd like to believe it's the West End with a room full of art and his best girl. And it's positive that I could feel him, but I don't know if I took advantage of the times he was right in the next room, cause my pain was such I couldn't stand it. Tell me how do you name those well-kept secrets that you never say out loud? Why does the body see these demons but keep me from calling out? I guess I'll just say it's a process, one day at a time. There have been weeks when I already lost it, but I came back every time. When you ask me what's wrong, you might think I don't hear you, but that's not the case. I just might not respond. I don't want to be near you cause I'm so ashamed. I just keep the TV on and just let it wash over all of these many fears, and hope I wake up less weary tomorrow morning, tomorrow morning. And hope I wake up less weary tomorrow morning, tomorrow morning. Please God, hope I wake up less weary tomorrow morning. I guess I'll just say it's a process, one day at a time. There have been weeks when I already lost it, but I came back every time. And I'm just trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. somewhere I can feel safe. And in my holy one, you know I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe. And in my holy one, I guess I'll just say it's a process. I guess I'll just say it's a process. I guess I'll just say it's a process, one day at a time. I guess I'll just say it's a process. I guess I'll just say it's a process. Guess I'll just say it's a process, one day at a time. I guess I'll just say it's a process. I guess I'll just say it's a process. Guess I'll just say it's a process, one day at a time. There have been weeks when I already lost it, but I came back every time. Yes, I came back every time. Thank you.
For Those Lost, a dedication to Sandra Bland, music recorded at the world premiere of Venus by Samora Pinderhughes, right here solo. And we have video of this performance, and you can watch it right now by going to our website, checkoutjazz.org. And I should also say, Samora Pinderhughes' newest single, the first one dropping from Venus, entitled Inertia, is now on all streaming platforms. If you want to learn more information, go to Samora Pinderhughes' website, and make sure to follow his activity on social media. You can follow us at Checkout Jazz. That's our Twitter handle. And on Instagram, I'm Simon Rentner. We also have a Facebook page. And The Checkout is a podcast. Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, Stitcher. Get it on demand wherever you go. And if you do subscribe to the show, why don't you give us a review while you're at it? Help spread the word and spread the music and love in Samora's case. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.